You know, intros are really overrated anyway. If you think about some of the best, besides, you want to get to the point. You want to get to the meat and taters. You don't want to hear all of that. But maybe I'll come up with one. Maybe like episode 20. But until then. Hello and welcome to So Good We Named It and More. Today we are joined by Sandra Joy of The Golden Bachelor. How are you today?
I'm doing all right. You know, Joy is my middle name, right?
Yes. I didn't know if this was like your stage name, because I know Mason is your last name.
That's a good idea. I could use a stage name. Mm-hmm.
Well, there you go. Because you might not want people looking for you. Even when I was trying to find a little information, the best I could find was Sandra is very proud of her high credit score. I said, oh, well, good to know. I mean, hey, me too, when it's up there. So not mad at that.
That's all you found?
That's what it was on, I think, the Bachelor Wiki page. That was one of maybe three things that they had as a fun fact about you, was you being proud of your credit score. I said, okay, well, I'll take it. But feel free to share a little more beyond that, just about yourself in general and how you even wound up on The Golden Bachelor.
Yes, sir. Okay, that's easy squeezy. I live in the Atlanta, Georgia area. And been here for 23 years. I am a footballaholic. So right now I'm in withdrawals, mm-hmm. although the United Football League has started. Not the same caliber as play, but it fills the blanks. Started playing golf a couple of years ago, although since I was on the show, I have not been back to the range. I haven't followed through. Maybe that's something I will do soon. And I'm a game showaholic, love television game shows. I've been on game shows, so that's a little bit about me. I've been single now for 30 years. This is 24th, 30 years now. And so I've done the gamut of dating. I've done traditional dating, blind dating, double dating, speed dating, online dating. And then when I saw this opportunity that came on TV, because I've been a Bachelor fan since Alex, which was the very first Bachelor, I've been watching, and so when this came on air that they were casting for seniors, I said, well, why not? I've tried everything else. So I applied, and through a series of events, I wound up out of 35,000 applicants. Oh. I'm 23. Yeah, I'm pretty proud of that.
You should be. I didn't know there was that many. But as I mentioned when we spoke before, I had never seen The Bachelor. Of course, I was familiar with it, but I hadn't seen The Bachelor or Bachelorette. It just didn't necessarily pique my interest. But then when I saw they were going to do The Golden Bachelor, I said, oh, now that I need to watch. And my friend and I, every week, discussing the episode and the breakdown and who we think was going to make it. So as someone who was a fan, there were a lot of things where I wondered, is this because it's Golden Bachelor, or is this just Bachelor? So was it very similar to how all the other Bachelors are as far as format and just the way the show was done?
Seems to be, although as America knows, our show was an hour a week, whereas the other parts of the franchise always got 2 hours a week. And so I think people were kind of hungry for more as the show aired and went on. It's like, how come we don't get more? So I think they were off to a great start, and maybe with the new Bachelorette and her guys, that maybe they'll give it a 2 hour look.
It did seem very short. I didn't know that it is usually longer. I thought, well, geez, we're already at the end. Like, isn't there a little bit more in between? But good to know. So maybe they will. And I'm guessing that you're not the next, you're not the Golden Bachelorette, since you said.
Well, I don't know. No, I don't know who is. So
would you do it if they asked you?
Absolutely. Are you kidding me? Did I just not tell you how many types of dating I've been?
You might be over it after that, but good to know.
No, but I'm not. And here's the thing. Wouldn't it be nice for someone else to find me 23, 25 guys for me to choose from? They're great at casting, so clearly I'm not.
I would love to see that. So if you're listening, I know my opinion has a lot of weight over at Disney and ABC, so I would love to see that, just saying. But yeah, when you first came out, because I told you, you remind me of my mother. You even share the same name. But a big difference is you don't take yourself as seriously. So when you first came out, I was like, oh, she looks like she's going to be real professional. We're like, I'm not here to play around. And then you were cussing as soon as you open your mouth. I said, okay, now she's fun. I'm here for her. So I was very tuned in with you. Were you surprised that you made it that far? Or were you like, of course, I made it to the end?
No, I wouldn't say of course, of course. I was surprised, I was pleased, I was proud of myself, my kids were proud of me. I felt blessed. It was just a total blessing. And I prayed on it, of course, and it just and little by little I felt, well, I'm gonna be there. When I was going through the vetting process, each step told me, okay, if they're asking me to do this, okay, they must still be interested, still be interested. And so no, it's just been an overall blessing in my life, and I don't take it for granted. And if would I go again? I think I say yes, like yesterday.
Well, you all seem like you were having a very good time. I don't know if that's normal where the bachelorettes are enjoying each other's company seemingly as much as they are enjoying vying for a man. Is that normal? Do they usually have so much fun together, or is that just you guys?
Well, from what I've seen on television, the younger folk tend to have cliques, or not mean girls, but cliques and kind of thing. But we ladies got along very well. We kind of sat around the sofa one day and said, you know what? We are going to get along because we're mature. We've been there. We've done that. We've had families, kids, grandkids. We've been there, done that, jobs, careers, blah, blah, blah. We don't need to fight among ourselves, and so. I think for the most part, we kept that, and to this day, we're all friends. There's not one woman on that show whom I wouldn't pick up the phone and call and say, "How you doing? I miss you." So, and I get calls to that same effect and texts. So, yeah, we bonded. We
You could
bonded.
tell. I felt like that could be its own show, just you all in the house talking.
It's the ladies, huh?
It just seemed like a good time. I was like, oh, I wish I was there. They're having a good time, hanging out, partying pickleball, which I'd never heard of until this show. Now it's everywhere. I don't know if it's
Everywhere.
because of The Bachelor. But even Target, you walk in and it's a huge pickleball like display with different outfits. You seem to maybe not have the same experience as everyone else. Is that something you're going to be adding to your repertoire, playing pickleball on a regular?
I'm not certain about that, and here's why. Because I've played racquetball. Now, they're not similar. Well, they are similar in some respects, but I've years and years of racquetball in such that I've actually had my knees replaced each one because the sport just tore my knees up. And the racquetball, when on the show, we played on outdoors on a concrete court, and I had to ice my knees after that. So maybe if there's an indoor court, I would pursue pickleball because I had fun and I wanted to win. Doggone
Yes,
it.
I could tell. I'm very competitive myself. My husband doesn't like to play board games or anything with me. He says, you take all the fun out of it. I said, well, the fun is winning. So
Winning. That's
I'm not
right.
playing for fun. This is to win. So
Right.
if I
Even
ever
if it's just
figure it
with a
out.
token or a candy bar, you want to win.
Exactly. So I don't really understand what pickleball is, but if I ever do, maybe we can play. But I'm not really sure what the difference is between that and tennis and all of
Okay. Well,
that.
it's different equipment, of course. First of all, the court is bigger in pickleball. The physical court is bigger. The terms are different. The net, racquetball doesn't have a net, it has walls. It really is a different sport. You're just holding an instrument to hit a cylinder. Okay, and the cylinder for racquetball versus pickleball is two different things. Racquetball is rubber. The pickleball is plastic with holes in it, so it's airbound,
Like a wiffle ball.
like a wiffle ball. Exactly.
Good
So
to know.
it's a different it takes a different technique, a different swing, but you should try it. On the show, when I tried it the first time, I thought, oh my God, this is fun.
I will definitely give it a try, being competitive, which is why I also enjoy game shows. I don't watch them as frequently, but Wheel of Fortune, which you were on, is one show that I always say I could be on there. When my grandmother was alive and she was calling out the answers, so was I. And we always got the puzzles. So how did you end up on Wheel of Fortune?
Okay, the backstory of that is when Wheel of Fortune's first aired 42 years ago, I watched it because I've been watching game shows since I was a little girl. I can name the shows, you wouldn't know them because that's a whole era of difference between us. But when kids were outside playing ball and doing other things, I was at home watching game shows. So I've always been a game showaholic. And so when Wheel of Fortune first came on the air with Chuck Woolery, and I think it was with Vanna. I watched it, and then later on I became a mom and all this. But the 7 o'clock to 7:30 half hour was mom's time. You don't interrupt mom. No phone calls. I'm not answering the door. If friends come over, then you have to sit down and watch with me. That was my half hour of day that mom wasn't mom. Mom was watching Wheel of Fortune. So I became a student of this show, and I loved it. And I thought, one day I'm going to be on this show. And my friends used to say, Sandy, I just go on the doggone show. Well, one day I will. And found out one day that my husband and I were going down to Los Angeles for an event. And so I called the 800 number and I said, I'm going to be there. They always want people from out of state because they want to hit different markets, of course. And for contestants, less viewership. And I applied and or called and said, I made an appointment, went down there, tried out, boom, I was on. But again, I was a student of the game. I wasn't just there for enjoyment. I watched, I learned. The English language isn't the easiest language around, but I mastered it, puppy. And there was when I went into the room for the tryouts, there was 110 people. We were all sitting at these little desks that looked like school desks with the wooden returns. I don't know if you know what that means, but at any rate,
I think I know what you're talking about.
I don't know what they have in school now, but anyway, they were all marked up desks and everything. They gave us these tests that were like hangman. And we had 15 questions. We had 15 or 15 puzzles and 15 minutes to get at least 8 right. And when that was over, there were 11 of us standing. There were 11 people in the room out of 110. And I was one of those. Oh my God. I was thrilled. And then a couple of more tests, like mock games. And we had to stand up and talk about ourselves. Easy squeezy. I can talk about myself. Can help. And so at the end, they said, okay, folks, well, don't call us. We'll call you. We'll let you know if we're interested, that kind of brush off. So I left there feeling pretty good. And about 3 weeks later, I got a phone call and said, we'd like you to be on the Wheel of Fortune. And it was
Did
a
you
thrill.
win? I've seen clips, but I didn't see the whole episode.
What? No,
I'll
excuse
have
me.
to try to find it out there.
There's
I'll try to
nobody
find the whole thing.
over there. Yes, I did win.
Of
I won a
course.
little over $30,000.
Oh.
This was in
Yeah,
1988, so that was a shitload of money back then.
that's a
Well,
lot now, so it definitely
closer though
was a lot
now, right?
then.
Yeah, but yeah, that was fun. And then we had I was working at a real estate office at the time, so we had a wheel watch party, and somebody ordered this cake that was the wheel and all. It was so much fun. It was
Well,
a
maybe
thrill.
you can go back if they do like a, celebrity night or something, since you did Family Feud. But as someone who was a wheel watcher and then became a player, to me, I always think if I get on there, then I'm not gonna instantly know everything because I'm so like, oh my God, I'm on TV. Did you feel like that, or were you still
Oh
able to
yeah.
just
Oh, the
rapidly?
pressure was, that's why I wore a dress where you couldn't see that I was perspiring because I knew. But yeah, the lights, this all the people, the audience, it was a lot of pressure. There's a lot of pressure there. And as much as they want you to or try to make you feel comfortable, the pressure is within myself and the opponents I'm with. We were all nervous, of course, and but I wanted to win. Boy,
That overcame the nerves. Now I would be really scared because you can go viral if you give a stupid answer and then you'll never live that down. It's going to be on there forever. But I would like to think that I could do it. So maybe I've done like talk shows and a couple court shows, oddly enough, but not a game show. So if there is something where I need to focus and not just be talking, I don't know, but I definitely, when I move to LA, I feel like that's gonna be my thing, is trying to go on all the game shows, especially because legally I can't do any more court shows for a while. But I think Wheel of Fortune is my number one option. I would say Pat Sajak if you're listening, but it'll be Ryan Seacrest by that time, probably. But that's interesting. And, like you, I've been on TV a couple of times, but I wouldn't necessarily say that I'm, in the biz like that. So you did that, and then you said you did Newlywed Game as well.
Yes, my husband and I did in 1969. We were on the Newlywed Game. We got married December of 68, and I think I applied. I called the 800 number, and I think I applied, and we went to Los Angeles, Hollywood, and we auditioned, if you will. And they kept it light and fun, and just trying to get to know the couples. And they called us back, and we went on. But now I don't have a videotape. I think that was even before VCR, if I'm not mistaken. I have a still photograph, black and white, that we have. But that's about the only. Well, that's not true. We won some Noritake China. I have still have some of those pieces. We didn't win. We got second place, but still, it was fun, and our parents were proud and all that stuff. Being on TV back then was a real big deal, real
Especially
big
being
money.
black, I'm sure, especially.
Yeah, that too. Yes. And that was Bob Eubanks was the host. Do you know that name?
I am familiar. I used to watch a lot of the old shows, Match Game, Hollywood Squares.
Yes. You
So
do know what I ex Yeah, good for
I when I
you.
was a kid, it sounds insane in hindsight. Other kids only have their action figures, what they're, having I don't know, army or something like that. Mine were reenacting Match Game. And I had set up the thing to make it look like they were sitting on the panel, and I had my host over here. That's just the type of stuff I was doing as a kid. But yes, I definitely am gonna be looking for that because it has to be out there somewhere. They have all these old random clips.
As a matter of fact, you could probably YouTube it. I even have the actual game number on some paperwork that I have. I have
I'm
the.
gonna look. Somebody's got it. Y'all always find the most random things online. I'm like,
It's on
why
YouTube
does
because
someone
somebody
have
brought it to
this?
my attention, and I'll help you locate it if you're truly
Now I want
interested.
to know what's your next show, because clearly you are drawn to being in the media. Is this something that you ever considered like as a career, or is it just you coincidentally happen to keep getting on TV?
No, I would love to go on another game show. I think I'm kind of not hooked, but I don't want to go back into oblivion now that I've been on.
Right, it makes you want
Serious.
more. Every little taste,
I
it's like,
want more.
oh,
I want to be noticed, I guess. I want to be seen, and nothing wrong with that, but I'm not sure how to get there. I'm a member of Screen Actors Guild, and I've been on some commercials in before I moved to Georgia. Georgia's a different state in terms of workers' rights and all that stuff. And unions. I want more television.
Well,
I
with you
do.
being in Atlanta, I'm surprised Tyler Perry hasn't put you in the next Madea movie. You could film 4 episodes in one day, the way that he does it. But I know what you mean. Like you get a little bit. It's like, okay, how do I get this again? What? How do I recreate this? Now, me being online and whatnot for probably like 15, over 15 years at this point, I've reinvented myself and come back multiple times. I'm like, look, we're gonna figure out some way. More recently was because of the Golden Girls. Even have my Golden Girls stuff back there behind me. So I'm like, hey, whatever, which is part of what drew me to Golden Bachelor, because for whatever reason, I've always loved the Golden Girls, and they say Golden Bachelor, and I'm just thinking like, oh, well, this is gonna be some like modern day Golden Girls, I suppose. But what I found interesting is when, looking up the show or whatever, people are always so shocked specifically about you and your age, because you look so young. Now I am used to Black women looking super young, whether it's in my family or people at church. But is that something you were surprised that people were like, really? You're really 75, or are you used to that?
No, well, I never get used to it, and I don't mind hearing it. When I was I got married when I was 20, and when I look at the pictures, and I understand people say, "My God, you look like you're 15 or 16." So I've always had this young look about me, and now that I'm golden, I guess it's just maintained. But I think lifestyle has had a lot to do with it. And when I say lifestyle, I'm You know, people say, what do you do? Your skin is so nice. What do you do? And I say, it's not what I do, it's what I don't do. And what I don't do is drink alcohol. Never, ever, ever drank. I tried. It's not a moral thing. I just don't like the taste of alcohol, so I never did. But I didn't know that in the long run that was would be a benefit to me. And my dermatologists, both of them, have agreed that, yeah, stay away from alcohol does wonders for you in the long run. And two, I don't worship sun. I don't hang in the sun. Sun is your enemy. Sun, the UVB rays breaks down the collagen. You don't know it, but it's happening. And so I don't worship sun. And when I go out in the sun, I have a hat or I stay in the shade. I love heat, but I don't need to lay out, bask in the sun and get the rays. That's a
That
no-no.
is true.
And then the third thing is outside of being on television, and talking to you, see my cheeks are a little rosy. I don't use a lot of makeup. Makeup is in the long run, you use it day after day, year after year, it causes havoc in your pores. I used to watch my mom do that day after day, year after year. She put the stuff on and then at night wash it off. And I'm like, what? And when I was a little girl, I'd say, oh, I don't want to do that. I didn't understand why she did it. We never talked about it. But so I just try to avoid wearing makeup every day just because.
So just stick to the orange juice and cranberry juice, which I, from my research, see that that's your drink of choice. So I'm
It
going to
is.
rush out and buy some of that. But it is true about the sun. My husband works at Sephora, and I used to think, oh, I don't need sunscreen. I'm black. But he's like, that's not correct. You should wear it anyway. And I say, oh, well, it's cloudy out. He's like, no, you can still get the rays. So for the first time, you know, in my life, once I met him, I started putting on sunscreen because he looks very young. He's almost 40, and people always think he's in his 20s. So I said, well, he must know what he's talking about because soon he's going to look younger than me. And that's going to be a problem because I'm younger than him.
And you know what? You always should always use with your moisturizer. Hopefully, use a moisturizer daily because I do need
Because of
that.
him,
We all
yes.
need that, but it should be at least SPF 50 or greater, because that has the greatest block ability, blocking those UVA, UVBs. But and there's on the market 15, 20, 30, whatever. But the 50 or more is probably your best defense. So.
Well, you would know, so I will have to check the SPF on everything that I have, but I'm only 35, and this probably sounds crazy from our end, but we feel like we are so old and we have didn't do anything that we wanted to do. We have no time left. But from someone that's, you know, a bit older, what is the secret? What is the way to just be like, no, you got time. You can do what you want to do. Go where you want to go. There's no rush.
Well, maybe you're just working too hard,
It's
too.
not so much working too hard because I have a lot of downtime, a lot of fun time. But like for instance, we will talk about, you know, having children. He'll say, oh, well, we'll be so old by the time we have children. I'm like, well, even in 5 years, that's not that old. I'll be 40, but he feels like, oh, we won't be able to keep up. And I do think sometimes, like, I can barely keep up with these cats. What would I do if I had a baby too? Or I think, oh, I didn't get to, you know, visit the places I wanted to visit. I didn't get to pursue the careers I wanted to pursue. It's like we think we're gonna look up and be 90 and life will have whizzed past us.
Well, I do have to tell you that having kids is work. It's challenging. It's a lot of work. So you got to buckle down for it, because think about just the mere act of going to a grocery store or going to a relative's house, anything. The work involved in getting a baby, not just yourself ready, or making sure the house is ready for you to leave, or putting away the dog and cat and all that. But getting a baby ready to leave the house, the paraphernalia you have, the getting the child, it's a lot of work. It's a huge commitment, enormous commitment. Well, I don't think a lot of men realize that. We ladies do, and it does in short order, we figure that out. So you all need to be ready, ready when you have that child. And maybe because you have the option to adopt, perhaps, instead of getting an infant that requires so much of your time and energy, maybe you would get a child that's five,
I
six,
agree. Were we to adopt, I would still like a baby, but I don't need him to be fresh out the oven, you know, maybe they can walk or something. A little less, a toddler maybe. But I guess like I've shown him because he doesn't watch as much TV. But I say, look at her. Why do you feel like we don't have time to do anything? Look at everything she's doing, and you know she's old enough to be our mother, and she's still enjoying life. Because I don't know why a lot of people my age just always feel like life is over after 30, which is insane because I'm sure
It is
to you,
insane.
I'm very young. But to me, or talking to like my niece, and I'm like, what is that? Like, even their slang, I'm like, what are you saying? What is this show? Who are these rappers? I don't know what anything is. I just feel so out of the loop sometimes. If you stay active, that probably helps. If you stay doing things that you enjoy, not just, exercising, but being on TV or having hobbies. Would you say that's a big part of it, and not just being like us and saying, let's just sit and watch TV?
Yeah, well, you want to watch TV, that's no big deal. But yeah, you want to get out and be active and take on the challenges of things like being on TV. I was 40 when I went on Wheel.
You said you've been in Atlanta for a while. Were you born in the South?
But you know what? Interestingly enough, I was born right here in Atlanta, Georgia. However, my parents moved to California when I was, I don't know, one or two, because back then it was Jim Crow South. It was awful down here. And they wanted out. They did not want to raise their family down in this horrible area. So I grew up in San Francisco. I moved back here 23 years ago because it's a different era. You know, there's a lot of black-owned businesses here and population obviously growing. And so when my husband and I got a divorce, I thought, do I want to stay? I was living in Washington State at the time. I thought, do I want to stay here? Do I want to go back to California? No, I want to try something different. I want my daughter to come here and be around black boys, because Washington State, she didn't have that opportunity. It was not as integrated, if you will. So we came here, and I love it here. I love it here. My daughter got the opportunity then to go to Howard University, so she's doing very, very well. As you know, well, I don't know if I mentioned that to you. She's an Emmy-winning editor.
Oh,
Did I brag about that?
I did not know.
Oh, okay. Yeah, she's won two Emmys and an Eddie, which is sort of a guild award. They all where they vote for their own, so to speak, editors, and she's worked on a lot of major projects like Dune, Blade Runner 2049, a lot of television shows, and she's working on something now that's secretive. Even I don't know what it is. But she's in New York. I don't want my baby in New York. But anyway, so she's doing very well. But moving back to Atlanta has been good for me. You know, I've got a whole new friend base here, and this is a very social world in Atlanta. So a lot going on here.
Yeah, I was there last year, I think. I like to do a little traveling, every other month if I can or whatnot. Where did I was down, they have that new area where the Braves are, and it's like a whole little strip. We did an escape room. That's something. Have you done escape rooms? I feel like you would like that since you like game
Probably
shows.
would, but no, I have not. I don't know anybody. I hadn't thought about it, quite frankly.
Well, when
But
I
you
come
and
back
sort
and I
of a
say, hey, I
battery.
found an escape room for us. I'm gonna hit you up. They are very fun. I just did one in North Carolina. I guess that's my thing when I go out of town. But for the competitive people like us, I don't typically solve it, but I will help find all the clues. And I say, okay, now you all figure out what to do, and I'm gonna facilitate and supervise.
Okay. What I did try, I went skydiving. Now,
Ooh.
indoor skydiving,
Okay.
which is different than skydiving out of a plane where you're going down. Indoor skydiving, the air holds you up. So it's air keeping you afloat, and a slight turn of the head or the hand or the elbow or the arm changes the direction in which your body moves. But try indoor
We
skydiving. You
have
would
one here and I've never done it.
try it.
You're so adventurous. It just makes me feel like I don't do enough. So I might have to try that. I don't know why I think that would be scary because you're not in the sky.
Nope.
So I might
You're
have
in a
to.
chamber where there's air again blowing you up, and like skydiving from a plane, it's a tandem environment. There's someone, the suit that you're in has these loops on it, so the professional holds onto a loop. So if you get into distress or trouble, he can steer you, hold you up, whatever it is, guide you left or right or something. And then there's a booth where a guy faces you that he'll do hand signals, and they share those hand signals beforehand. There's just four, so it's simple. You know, go up, down, you know, move your head left, right, whatever it is. So it's really safe. It's so safe, it's ridiculous. But
well, with your recommendation, I might have to give it a try. Try something new. I saw something the other day, and it said to try things that scare you, or, you know, things that you've been worried about, and that just helps your overall mental health once you've conquered that thing. So I've been trying to think, like, what am I really afraid of, or something that I could do? I don't know if I'm afraid of indoor skydiving, but it's definitely out of my comfort zone. So maybe that'll help a little bit. And in reference to your daughter, she's doing what I like to do. So good to know that there is a path, and, you know, you can, you know, do something with it still. I edited a couple of episodes of some friends of mine, their web series, and I had, of course, my own stuff. But I always wonder, like, is there a real market? Is it easy to get into? It may not be easy, but, you know, something that's possible to get into. So I've never met anybody that knows anybody that's actually in it. So that always makes it seem a little more real, especially when it's somebody that, you know, looks like me. So good to know. But in saying that you grew up in California, I was going to ask you if you did grow up in that era, because my parents lived down there. But since you didn't, I don't know if I've met anyone that grew up on the West Coast during that era. I met some people that were in Chicago or the East Coast. Was it a big difference from the South? Like, were you able to go to the movies, go to stores, restaurants alongside white people?
Well, again, I didn't grow up here. So I grew
right, in California, were you able to do those things?
Oh, yeah. It's funny because race, as a child, for me, well, not, I was going to say it was not an issue. It was an issue. Never even thought about it. But I grew up in a predominantly Caucasian area. I think there were four black families in the high school where I was. So I never thought that I looked different, felt different, was different. It just didn't occur. Did not occur to me. I would even look in the yearbooks and I didn't see, oh, I'm dark and they're not. It just never... It never was a part of my world, and it sounds naive, but boy, it's true. I'm very fortunate for that. I think
fascinating. You don't hear about that much. You really only hear the bad parts. You know, like my parents, my grandparents had a set of encyclopedias because their kids couldn't even go to the library, so all the kids would come and use their encyclopedias because nobody else had them. My father never went to school with white people. My mother, they didn't integrate until I think her junior year. And, you know, you just hear all the stories. My grandfather would say, you know, don't go to any restaurant where you have to go in the back. You know, if they can't serve you in the front, don't go there. They had to sit in the balcony to watch movies, things like that. So to hear someone from that same generation say it was totally different because of where you were located, that's very fascinating because you don't hear about it. They only, I guess, movie portrayals, they only want to hear bad stuff. My grandparents did live here before my mother and her siblings were born. So that probably would have been like the 30s, maybe 40s. And of course it was way different. But even then, Marshall Fields had a, you know, colored section in the basement, you know, for them to go to. So it wasn't as bad, but it's interesting that California had it to where you could really, you know, just live like a regular person. And I've seen some portrayals and some things. I think the show was called Hollywood on Netflix and they did have black characters. And I was thinking, how realistic is this that they're just walking around with everybody else? Good to know that, you know, that's actually something you were able to do. So you've really lived.
I was very fortunate for that my parents had the foresight not to have us grow up in the South, you know. That was a blessing, total blessing. I didn't realize it at the time. We didn't talk about it, but looking back, I know. But I specifically wanted my youngest daughter to have this experience, to be around black people, specifically wanted her to have that. And so she did.
And Atlanta is like the black people capital of the United States. I consider moving there at one point, you know, with my interest in the media. I'm like, well, that's kind of like little black Hollywood. But I think LA probably will work out a little better. Would you ever consider moving out to LA?
Well, you know, both my kids actually live in Southern California. One's in Pasadena, one's in Hollywood. So I imagine at some point in time in life, I will need to move west because, you know, when I'm close to 100, somebody's gonna need to be around me. And it makes more sense for me to live where they live rather than for them to haul their lives and come to Atlanta. But at some point in time, I'm sure I'll be back on the West Coast.
Well, I meant for career reasons.
Oh, no. There's a second Hollywood here, And here's the thing with you guys, I don't know if you thought about this. Los Angeles, California is very expensive. Food, gas, housing. My God Almighty, when I go to visit the kids, it's like, what? You pay what for an egg? Give me a break. I just and here it's a lot more affordable, which I think is one of the reasons Atlanta and some of the other southern cities are growing in the media world, because people who are below the line, all the real workers, the crew, they can afford housing here. They can afford to have an apartment and not have to have three roommates to pay for it. That it's doable here. It's livable here. Now, at some point in time, it's going to get pricey, but right now, it's doable.
Well, that's what everyone says. Anytime I say we're moving to LA, they say, "Oh, it's so expensive. It's so expensive." Luckily, I recently acquired a good job. I don't. Last time we spoke, you asked me what I did. I was saying I'm looking for a job. I have one now, finally. So that certainly helps. Being able to move out there and not having children also helps. So I'm like, we're gonna, definitely make it work. But of course, we may not have all of the luxuries that we have now. But Chicago's expensive too. So from one expensive place to another. But I just can totally see you like on Days of Our Lives or something like that. I know a lot of the Big Brother people, I don't know if you watch that show, they end up doing a lot of stuff like that, or other reality shows. That's something I think you would be good on. Do you watch Big Brother?
I do not. I do not.
It's
I would love to do something that's unscripted, like The Golden Bachelor,
yeah, Big Brother, it's a reality show.
and then I probably wouldn't mind. I'm not sure. I don't want to do things where people are vicious to one another, where they
Oh yeah, don't
backbite,
do it.
like
Don't do that
Real
show.
Housewives and stuff. I don't want to be unkind to people. That is not who
Well,
I
you
am.
don't have to be, and I don't think they would be unkind to you. Typically, the more mature black women, they get that reverence and they're not talking to them crazy, but the young people in the house talk to each other crazy. But just being so competitive, I'm like, oh yeah, you'd be good on there. I don't know if I could do it because you're trapped in a house with people, at least in The Golden Bachelor. You got to go places. That's the part that I'm like, I like my alone time. I might not want to be bothered with you. But just from the competitive nature, I'm like, oh yeah, I would have it. But I think that, definitely you seem to be enjoying it, which is part of why I thought, okay, it's probably okay to reach out to her. Because some people are like, I just did this show, I don't want to talk. But you kept posting, like, oh, I ran into somebody that recognized me. I ran into somebody. So I'm like, oh, so she's into it. She's into it. Do you get recognized a whole lot?
I do, not enough, but no, I do. And here's this is going to sound really weird, because people say, what? Because once I left filming, somebody recognized me here in the local market, and so when they introduced me to their dad and all this kind of stuff, and I said, oh, geez, that's a celebrity sighting. Well, since then, literally, I have counted the celebrity sightings. I am now up to 306. I know
Wow.
it sounds weird that I'm even counting, but
Hey, I would too. That's pretty decent.
And that doesn't include a group. If it's a group of people, I count it as one. Or if I'm with some of the other bachelorettes, I don't know that they notice me or they notice us, so I'll count it as one. But so anyway, I'm up to 306. So, but
Wow.
I'd love 1306.
Well, I'm glad that you're into it and that, it was such a good experience. So you don't mind sharing that you don't feel like, oh, here we go again, that,
Not at all.
you
Not at
enjoy it.
all.
Because you have
Not.
that certain thing, us people, who are drawn to this. We just got that thing that just makes people want to see more or talk to us or whatever that is. I don't know what it is, but whenever I hear my name, I don't know why, I run away. I'm like, I don't know who that could be. I don't know what they know me from, because I've done a lot of crazy stuff online, so you never know. But like yesterday, it ended up to be an old coworker. She's like, yeah, I saw that you heard me and that you ran down the aisle. I didn't know who it was. I didn't want to, but I did used to get recognized back when I was on YouTube a lot more, and people would say, hey, aren't you that guy? Or they know me from court shows. So I would like to be known for something other than suing someone, or getting sued. But I think, the whole group is just like, I don't know how to describe it. I don't know if any other like TV show where it's just a whole group that everyone collectively enjoys. Usually it's one person from the group that people really like, but you are like a package deal. You should take that on the road somewhere. Like, come meet the Golden Bachelorettes. I'm sure people would be lined up. I don't know if you already do that or public speaking engagements. Like, I would if I was in the area and it's like, oh, hire me to come and, you know, host something. You just
I'd like to do that, but we do have to have permission from the media.
Oh, folks. Yeah.
We have to regulate things. So
that does.
And they're good at saying yes, as long as we follow guidelines. That I've not been turned down for anything yet. So
will I be seeing you in any commercial soon? Maybe Centrum Silver, something like that?
I would like to. I would love that. I've got to get an agent. If you know any agents in the Atlanta area, well, they don't even have to be local. I would love to do that. I would love to do commercials. That's where I got my SAG status many years ago, is because I did commercials. And I earned enough to join the union.
Wow.
You know, I don't want to be on something that's a 26-week show where I'm memorizing lots of. I am retired. So what I want to do is short-term gigs, a commercial that you film in a day and a half or 2 days, whatever, but not something that lasts 26 weeks or you know,
yeah,
12 hours a day. I don't want to do that.
Even doing extra work, I was doing it when I was looking for a job. And I know that that's how it works, but even when you're there, it's like, we have done this five-minute scene for 12 hours. None of those were good enough. We don't even have lines. Like, how many times do we have to do this?
Just background. Yep.
It can be draining, but it is fun too. The last one I did, I was supposed to be at a drag race, and they say, react how you would normally react. And I said, well, I'm not the most enthusiastic person. So I just stayed as me. And my main concern was the insurance in case that car crashed. That's my character. I was just looking like, wow, they're really going to have some high insurance rates on that. And that's all I was mainly doing. That's where everybody else was jumping up and down. But I did maintain, because I had a fake drink, to make sure I looked like I was actually holding a drink. Because I don't like that when you're watching something and you can tell that it's empty. So that's my method acting. I even covered it up when I jumped up and down so it wouldn't spill. I'll have to send you a link whenever that episode airs. I'm just like, hey, whatever I can do, you know, like you, it's fun. Like, at the end of the day, it is fun to be on TV. It's fun to be recognized for something good.
Recognized at the grocery store.
Right. Like, it's just a load of fun, especially probably, you know, now that you're retired, you got the free time. Beats going to bingo, I'd assume. So, you know.
I played bingo when I was in my 30s. I loved it because I loved being around older people. It was so much fun. They were fun. So in my 30s, I played bingo with my girlfriends. I don't want to do bingo now. I want to be out there.
I think that your age group is definitely underestimated and underappreciated. Like, in other cultures, you know, they revere their seniors, but it's like, people, even when the Golden Girls aired, you know, they were not that old in hindsight. They were like 40s and 50s, and you would think that they were 90 the way that they were being treated. And now, you know, they say 70 is the new 50, probably is. People still don't get it. Like, you have a life. It does not end. I don't know if you're familiar with the show Act Your Age. But it has Tisha Campbell, Kim Whitley, Evette Nicole Brown, and they're in their 50s. And it's kind of like a black, you know, updated Golden Girls. And the same thing, you know, their characters are showing how, you know, hey, we still have a life after that. And I just love being able to see real life people, because I know that, but everybody doesn't know that. You know, a lot of people, maybe the people they know, didn't age as well. So they assume everyone is, you know, crotchety and whatnot. You know, you see the news, they say, oh, grandmother was robbed and she's like 40, and they, you know, just make her sound so old. I love seeing that so that people can, you know, realize that, because my husband and I will see people and they look super old and we're like, they're probably our age. So, you know, it's just good to see that. And like I said, it's inspiring, because sometimes I do feel like I've, you know, life is over and, you know, time to just, you know, wait for the Grim Reaper. I don't know. Not to be drastic, but, you know, it's just good to know that between my age and, you know, maybe your age, who knows what I could do within that time. So, yes, I feel like, oh, I didn't do this, I didn't do that. That's a whole other life in between. And anything is possible. You probably didn't assume at this point that you would be thrust into the media and things like that. But, when it happens, you got to jump on it and go to the next thing.
Yeah, you got to apply. You got to apply online for whatever it is anymore. That's how it's done. You don't pick up the phone and call 800 anymore.
Exactly. And you seemingly are very on top of it with technology. Another thing I'm not great at. I know how to do what I need to know how to do, but a lot of stuff I'm asking my husband, can you hook that up? Can you plug this up? And he's like, what are you going to do when we, you know, have kids? Am I going to be the one that they have to ask everything? I'm like, yeah, probably. But you don't want to get in that mindset. You want to maintain your youth through your physicality and your mental ability. But I will close with, since people may want to know a little bit about Golden Bachelor, but if y'all have listened to this show, you know I talk about what I want to talk about and not what everybody else has asked a million times. But were you to have made it to the end, do you think that you could have seen yourself as Mrs. I don't remember his last name, but do you think you could have gotten to that point? Or after leaving the show, you realize, yeah, maybe we wouldn't have worked out.
But his last name, by the way, is Turner. But your question was kind of threefold, but I think I knew somehow, sometime during the filming, that he and I were in the friend zone. And I liked Gary. We had some great conversations. We talked a lot about football and television shows, kind of like what you and I are doing now. Great conversations, which of course America never saw, because again, it was 1 hour show. And I could see myself, not necessarily with him, because that didn't work out, but I could see myself, if it were a different bachelor, different circumstances, he liked me, I liked him, could I see myself marching along with this person? Yes. Which is why I say, if they called me to be the bachelorette, yes, I would do it, because doggone it, they're doing the work to find me. I can't go anywhere here and get 25 hand-selected men to pay me attention.
You two have more of a friend vibe, which I feel like I picked up on in watching your conversation. So while you don't think that you could have been Mrs. Turner, it did make you feel like, oh, I could do this again with the right person.
Sure. Absolutely. Yes, indeed. Yeah.
Well, that's
inspiring. He was fun. He was a good guy, and I can see why they casted him. And I can see why they casted each one of us ladies, because we bonded and got along. We were fun. Susan mostly was the funnest.
She seems like it. And there were so many people we barely got to see. Who was the person that didn't get enough screen time but is like super fun or interesting that we just didn't get to see that much of?
Well, I think the ones that were most fun and all that you did see, really. I had a special bond with a lady named Edith who didn't get that far. But Edith lives in the Southern California area, and she's just a beautiful soul. Beautiful lady physically and just in spirit, smart. And I wish she'd gotten more.
Yeah, she was one that I was like, oh, she looks interesting. But then we didn't really get to see much. That's something I would want to see, is to learn more about the contestants. I don't know if they call them contestants. Prior to them just being, you know, shifted off the show. Because I'm sure there was a lot we didn't see. And I'm like, they look so interesting. Look like they have something they could have brought to the table or said that we just didn't get to see. It did feel like, okay, let's just focus on these certain people. And hopefully moving forward, everybody gets the equal amount of screen time to show whatever side of them that they have. But good to know that you're open to coming back. Hopefully, I'm sure you had mentioned that, you know, you do have some people reach out. I'm surprised you don't have men coming up to you in public and, you know, saying, hey, how about a date? You know, I saw you on The Golden Bachelor.
Well, let me just kind of explain that. Men do come up to me. Typically, they're 20 years younger than I am, which is kind of a downer. I always ask them, do you got an older brother or an uncle? The demographic for these shows, it typically isn't older men. They're not golden men, for sure. If they've watched, it's because a spouse or a girlfriend has made them sit down and watch. The demographic for these shows is typically women. It's just the way it is. But, you know, when I meet women, I always make sure they know that, like, I'm still single. So if you have an older brother or you know, let them know, kind of thing. But yeah, men who approach me online or in the DMs, as you call them, or looking younger than I am is kind of a double-edged sword, because it's men who are like my older daughter's age. Can't do that. what's the point of that? In 4 years, I'm going to be 80? Really? And you're 56 or 57? You're not going to want me in 4 years. You're going to look at me and say, what am I doing with this old ass woman? Just think about it. So when younger men approach me, I kind of have to turn them down nicely.
Well, I have an uncle that's single, Auntie Sandra.
Yeah, okay. I'm listening.
I think he's 70. I don't know if that's too young.
That's perfect.
But actually, no, my mother is the youngest, so he's over 70. So,
Hey.
I might see you at Thanksgiving. But I
Is he in
do.
Chicago?
He's in Mississippi.
Okay, that's not far.
And my other uncle, he's on wife, I think, number six. So when she's out the way, then you'll have that as an option as well.
Did you say wife number six?
Yes, I think this is five or six. So
Hello.
yeah, he's just firing through him for some reason. Don't know why. I don't know if I could do this again. Once seems like enough for me. This, just having to get to know somebody and what they like and don't like. But I do thank you for taking the time to talk to me and to share more about you. Because for me personally, I think as far as the Golden Bachelor goes, I saw what I needed to see on the show. I wanted to know more about you, your life, how you got there. And you just seem very fascinating. So you're more than welcome to come back anytime. And if
Thank
anybody
you.
listening, what's the age limit? They have to be 70 and up.
No. I think I do 65.
Okay, I don't know if I got any 65-year-old guys in the South listening, but hey, just saying.
Hey, I'm eager. Hey, let me give you my IG, my Instagram. Is it a handle? Is what it's called? Sandra the Joy. SandratheJoy. Sandra the Joy.
I just asked to be invited to the wedding if anything happens from this show. Thank you for listening to So Good We Named It and More, part of the So Good We Named It Network. And be sure to catch the So Good We Named It Golden Girls and Golden Palace podcast as well. All episodes now streaming. And don't forget to follow at So Good We Named It on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and Twitter. Tune in next time for more So Good We Named It and more.